It's time to feel good. Welcome to Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
With Paintbox Nails and Beauty Harrogate, offering boutique luxury for everyone.
Yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome to our new free podcast of the Health and Wellbeing Show from Stray FM. And you can hear the show go out live on the radio Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock or listen on our little download here on the old audio boo anytime you like at strayfm.com. This is Nick Hancock. What hurts? What? Everything hurts for me. I've got a right pain in my neck. Have had for some time. I've got creaky knees. Oh, the bottom of my back hurts a bit. Anyway, if you're in pain, maybe, just maybe, there's something that you can do about it. So making some little steps, some changes in your everyday life can stop you getting these kind of run-of-the-mill pains and aches we all get. This is according to famous doctor, Dr. Sarah Jarvis, who is appearing in a little bit on this week's podcast. Also, totally different subject and probably not the easiest thing to listen to be perfectly honest, but it is a subject that we need to talk about. It's Child Sexual Exploitation Awareness Week. And you're thinking, oh, I live in Harrogate. That doesn't affect me. It does, actually. And we're talking to Harrogate Borough Council about that in a couple of minutes' time. But first, on the Health and Wellbeing Show, this is a potential life changer. So I want you to be thinking about behaving in a slightly different way by understanding your nervous system. This is called the Neuro Revolution, and to explain more, we talked to neurotherapist Dr. Sarah Pugh, who's been chatting to our very own Tom Harland. Have a listen.
Sarah Pugh, neurotherapist, on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
Okay, so in a nutshell, it's about training your brain to get a better mind and a better body, and my aim over the next 12 months is to make a load of complicated functional neurology and biochemistry interesting, simple and accessible to all of you out there listening. So hopefully at the end of the year, if you listen to my shows, go on my website after each show, you'll have a much better understanding of how to improve your brain and your body.
Yes, because after each episode, we will have some content available online to follow some of these exercises through and some of the things that you might learn about in this neuro revolution.
Yes, the neuro revolution, exactly. So because the nervous system controls everything in your body, we're going to be talking about pain, we're going to be talking about flexibility, strength, sport when the Olympics comes on, sports, vision, balance, sleeping, emotions, sex, ooh, headaches.
Sex.
Yes, yes.
Great,
yes,
we're covering
yes.
Everything here.
And also we're going to be talking about performance enhancement and hypnosis as well. Also, if anyone's got any particular requests, anything they really want us to talk about on this show, please get in touch as soon as possible.
So I've had many conversations with Sarah about the beginnings of this neurotherapy, the neuro revolution, and it's a really interesting field and something that I cannot wait to learn more about. If you'd like to get involved, if you'd like to ask any questions, you can straight away. You can do it instantly now. Tweet us at StrayFM and we will pass those questions on. So, why would somebody want to ask a question of you? Why would somebody be interested in this neuro revolution?
Okay, so you may know somebody or you yourself may have pain or aches and pains that won't go away. You've tried everything and they're still there. You might feel like you could be more flexible, more stronger, more agile. You just seem to have hit a plateau. You might know somebody with balance issues. You might have balance issues yourself. You might have issues with visual skills and coordination. You might want to improve your memory. Actually, that would be quite important for many people. And also being able to think more quickly and more clearly. So that's the kind of approaches that I take. You probably fall into one of those camps already, or more importantly, you might have a loved one or a friend that falls into one of those camps. And another key thing is, after the age of 40, all of our senses start to degrade unless you train them. So it's very important for anybody who's past that milestone in their lives.
What's your background, Sarah, and how did you get into this field?
I studied genetics and biochemistry at university. Then I worked on a short project on dopamine receptors, which is the reward neurotransmitter. Then I did a PhD in protein folding, which in a nutshell was about Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease. Then I worked on statins and heart cells as a postdoc. And over that time, I had probably did science for about 13 years.
So lots of different kinds of science there as well. So
it's all life science, really. It's all biology and biochemistry.
And you talked about things to do with the brain, you know, the Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and things, which obviously when you talked about those reasons why you might want to hear about neurotherapy were some key areas. The brain was a key area of the nervous system, obviously. And the reward neurotransmitter you talked about as well.
Yes, that's dopamine. So dopamine is really important for all kinds of things, addiction, movement.
Am I right in thinking that's the thing that makes you feel good when you do something and you feel good about it?
Yeah, it's part of, because also you've got endorphins and serotonin as well. Yeah. But you're completely correct. It is something that is a pleasurable compound in your brain.
So going from the lab, effectively, the science world, where did you go to from there?
I left in my 13th year of science. I decided to leave and I started out teaching Pilates and yoga, but I wasn't new to movement. I already had played a lot of sport competitively, from hockey, football, martial arts. So I had a good understanding of movement. So I was quite used to hitting people with balls, kicking balls, hitting balls, hitting people, all that. So I covered quite a wide variety of sports. After a while of teaching people just movement and just focusing on the body, I realised there was a hell of a lot more. And I wanted to learn, how do I tap into this? What else is there? And it mainly started because I heard somebody say, this famous strength coach, your muscles are already capable of lifting a car. They just don't know how to yet. So that was what got me interested. It's like, okay, there's more to the body than just the body. How do I tap into the nervous system and the brain?
So effectively saying you have the potential to do something, you just need to train your body and condition your body to be able to do it.
It's almost like turning keys. There are specific things in the nervous system and the brain that if you can turn the key, you can unlock extra strength, extra potential, extra power, all of that. So my quest then to learn more about the brain and the body took me around the world, put me in touch with some of the brightest, most talented people on the planet.
That's a great story, because you went in a quite scientific way about this, didn't you? So you built your career almost out of an experiment.
Yes, exactly. To understand the nervous system more, I learned all kinds of other things as well, like close-up magic, which I perform professionally, also stage hypnosis as well, because everything matters. It's not just about vision and balance, it's all about how you use your brain as well. So most people are familiar with hypnosis and about mindfulness, but I do that, but I also have other ways to help people unlock their true potential, as I say.
So Sarah, that's your background, phenomenal amount of experience and different ways of gaining that experience, but let's find out now more about what it is you do, the neuro revolution and neurotherapy. Where can we start?
I think I said right at the beginning I was going to keep it simple. So let's start with a 1-2-3 of brain basics.
One.
The brain's primary objective is survival. It wants to keep you alive and safe today. So anything threatening is important. Your brain always wants to keep you safe, and it wants to know, how dangerous is this really? We'll come back to this when we talk more about pain and performance.
Two.
To function well, your brain needs two things. It needs fuel and activation. By fuel, I mean good breathing and proper nutrition. And activation, this can be movement, touch, vision, balance, all kinds of things. And your brain needs the right stimulus at the right time in the right amount.
Three.
The brain has three primary tasks: to receive input, understand and make a decision, and produce an output.
Great, let's get a bit more detail on that.
So first of all, your brain has to receive input. So these inputs can be touch, sound, vision. The whole body is always sending input to the brain. And the brain,
your senses, effectively.
Yeah, your senses, effectively. And the number one job, your brain has to receive this input. And the quality is incredibly important. So everyone's had texts or emails from drunk people, so they're putting in a hell of a lot of input.
Yes.
Lots of it, but whether it's useful or meaningful, that's another question. The second task of the brain is to receive this input and interpret it and attach meaning to it. So this is back to the drunk person sending you an email. It'll take you quite a long time to try and work out this bad input. So say if you're playing sport or something, you can't afford this slow decision-making process.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's where the training thing, I guess, comes in, isn't it?
Yeah.
The more you practice it, the quicker your decision-making is going to be.
Exactly, exactly. The third thing is your brain needs to produce an output. So usually it's a movement, but it can also be a change in blood pressure, a change in organ response. For example, say if you were sitting in a room and the temperature started to go down, your thermoreceptors would sense, oh, this is getting a bit colder. That message would go into your brain. Your brain would look through all other previous experiences of this sensation, this cold, and then it will work out, oh, I know what to do. I'll just put a jumper on. And it produces an output and you put your jumper on.
Right. We have covered a wide range of stuff already on this and given an introduction to Sarah and to the Neuro Revolution. Sarah, why is it so important for people to keep listening to these over the next, well, year at least that we're going to be speaking to you?
So I talked to you about the input, the decision making and the output. So if you've got a problem you're stuck with, a pain, a block in your mind or your body, your problem lies in that cycle somewhere. You've either got an input problem, a decision making problem or an output problem. And my job is to help you find where in that cycle you have the problem so that you can basically debug your nervous system and either get better performance or get out of pain. After each one of these shows, you'll be able to go onto my website, which is www.sarahpughleeds.co.uk. There'll be exercises and more information that you can download so that you can start to have a better brain and better body right away.
Of course, and we will share these links to these relevant articles on the Stray FM
social
media as well, so do keep an eye out for that. Sarah, it's been fascinating already. I can't wait to learn more. As we said earlier on, if you do want to ask any questions about anything you've heard this evening or about anything that might be coming up in the future, you can tweet us at Stray FM. We'll pass all of that on to Sarah. Sarah will be back in about a month's time to go into some more detail. I think we're going to understand the brain,
yeah,
aren't we?
We're going to be talking about different parts of the brain and how you don't need to be a brain surgeon or married to one to get a better brain. You can do it all in the comfort of your own home.
I can't wait. It's something I need. Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah Pugh, neurotherapist on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show with Paintbox Nails and Beauty Harrogate, offering boutique luxury for everyone with a range of gift box vouchers available now.
It's the Health and Wellbeing Show podcast from Stray FM. This is Nick Hancock and something totally different, and make no apologies for us talking about this. It's a tough subject to broach. Maybe not the easiest thing to listen to, but Child Sexual Exploitation Awareness Week is taking place this week, and it actually happens here in Harrogate. Simon Aston from Harrogate Borough Council has been talking to Gavin Rutter about what it means, how you can spot the warning signs, and most importantly, how you can prevent it.
Can I start off then, Simon, by asking you, first of all, what we understand by the term child sexual exploitation?
In a nutshell, child sexual exploitation is when a young person under the age of 18 will get something such as a gift, such as a mobile phone, jewellery, money, that sort of thing, in return for giving some form of sexual activity to the perpetrator.
It's been heavily in the news for a number of different reasons recently. Yeah. We've had the cases in Rotherham, Rochdale and other yeah. parts of the country. We also hear about other sorts of abuse that take different forms. And I suppose with that in mind, what is the biggest risk to children at the moment? Is it from gangs on the street corner preying on innocent young girls, or are the risks more online, or is it a mixture of both?
It's a mixture of both. Statistically, the majority of sexual exploitation incidents are not ones that are within gangs and groups. More often than not, in terms of investigations and convictions, the majority of people who are perpetrating CSE are middle class white males working on their own and not within a group of sharing kids.
So mentioning those cases that have been so high profile,
yeah.
even though Rotherham is in the same region, it would be easy for someone on the outside to say that's happening somewhere else. It's not of concern to families, to parents, to children living here in yeah. North Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Would they be right to think that?
Completely wrong. It is happening. We know it's happening. The police have taken a very, very strong line in trying to investigate and help and support children who have come to notice. Social services are doing a great job trying to support these children, but it is happening.
When you say it's happening today, can you give us any examples? Of course you can't give specifics or anything, but in what form is it taking place, say, in Harrogate at the moment?
In Harrogate at the moment, there's children who we know are going missing on several occasions, and when kids go missing, that is a real light bulb moment. We should be looking at those children who are regularly going, bunking off school, going missing from home, etc., and not giving an explanation of where they are. It's the type of behaviour that we see, and then at that time we don't know what's happening. The children might not say what's going on, they might not say who they're meeting, and that's a real risk for those children. And these are the type of children who are being supported at the moment by specialist professionals.
Is there something that the adults in these children's life can do if someone notices a sign? Is there anywhere they can go to report their concerns?
Yeah, we as a group provided a parent's guide to child sexual exploitation. That's on our website. It gives parents a really good idea of what CSE is all about, what the signs are, how to spot the signs, and what to do, where to go to report it.
And how important is it to intervene if something is going on, to intervene early to stop the situation spiralling and getting worse and worse?
Yeah, some people may look at it and say, well, I don't want to get involved. I don't really want to report my suspicions because it could well be that my suspicions are completely unfounded. And it may well be that by saying, you know, I'm going to report somebody, it sets off a real chain of events which might really not be right. I always say to people, though, how would you feel if it was your child and somebody suspected something and didn't say anything?
We tend to think of this as a crime largely affecting young girls, but can boys be affected as well?
Yes. We've done a lot of work with a group called the BLAST Project, which is a national charity and support group that works specifically with boys and young men who are being exploited. They work in Leeds and Bradford, but they've come across to our area and done a lot of training for professionals to raise the awareness that boys can be exploited just as much as girls.
And Simon, parents will be listening to this. It's worth just reiterating what those warning signs are, those key warning signs that perhaps should trigger an alarm and lead to you seeking further advice.
There's a lot of different signs children will show that may mean that they are a little bit more vulnerable than others. As I mentioned earlier, not saying where they are, going missing, coming home late, bringing home new mobile phones, bringing home new clothes, different changes in the way that they are at home, being very secretive. A lot of them can go the other way and be very demonstrative and be very outgoing and vocal, where previously they were quite quiet children. Kids going on the internet for ages and ages and ages, locking themselves in the rooms and just going on there. All I would say to parents is please try and find out who your kids are talking to. Internet safety is all included within child sexual exploitation, because a lot of these activities start on the internet and then lead to people meeting children, etc., etc. All we would say is make sure that parents are aware of who they're talking to. Talk to the children about safety, internet safety, and also if parents see signs within the children, talk to them about it. Ask why things have changed, where they're getting things from. I know that children are secretive. We've all been children. We all like to we don't tell our parents everything that we've done in the past. But if you've got if you can try and talk to your children, so much the better.
And do you have any contact details of where parents should go if ultimately they are concerned?
Yes, there are a lot of websites available. Our website, www.saferharrogate.org.uk, has got information. The NSPCC has information. Parents Against Child Exploitation, PACE, they have a website. If you just put in PACE on the internet, there's lots of different areas, different places. If you just type in child sexual exploitation help, there'll be a load of resources that come in.
Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show with Paintbox Nails and Beauty Harrogate, who host a unique opportunity to meet star of Strictly Come Dancing, Flavia Cacace, on Friday the 6th of May.
Simon Aston from Harrogate Borough Council talking about Child Sexual Exploitation Awareness Week, which you will be hearing more about on Stray FM, and you can read more about it on our website as well. Now, the Health and Wellbeing Show podcast, it's time to talk about pain. I don't mean big pain, I just mean the little aches and pains and grumbles of life. And here's the thing, maybe there's something that you can do in your day-to-day life to stop you feeling so much pain. That's the theory anyway from Dr. Sarah Jarvis, famous doctor, Dr. Sarah Jarvis, who's been talking to our very own Gavin about this.
Sarah, this first of its kind apparently consumer study has found that 93% of people say they suffer from body pain at some point. Can we clarify first of all, what are we talking about? What do we understand as body pain, and why is this significant?
Pretty much all of us, as we can see from this GSK Global Pain Index, have suffered from pain. And what we're talking about is more than a tiny twinge, which when you move or shake your shoulders around, disappears. We're talking about pain that goes on for perhaps several hours. This was a big survey. It looked at more than 7,000 adults on four continents, 14 countries. And what they found was that about 93% of people were getting pain, but two-thirds of them were getting pain every week, and one in eight said they were in constant pain.
So is this something that's always been the case, do you think, or is there something specific about modern-day life that is causing this?
I sit here, sitting up very straight and being terribly, terribly conscious of what way I'm sitting as I say to you, yes, modern-day life, and particularly the fact that we spend so much time slouched in front of computers or microphones or looking down at our smartphones or whatever else, has a huge impact. In it. So we don't get out as much as we did. Interestingly, a lot of people believe completely mistakenly that if they've got pain, they should avoid exercise because it makes the pain worse. In fact, the opposite is true.
Right.
And these days, far too many of us are not terribly fit, so that when we do some exercise, we end up straining something because our muscles aren't used to being used, our joints are being overused for the first time, or they're more likely to feel the pressure. We know that we spend a lot of time sitting in front of computers, and bad computer posture or bad sitting posture is responsible for a huge amount of pain. So, for instance, when I'm sitting here, I'm sitting facing straight towards my computer monitor. The desk is at a level where, with my knees and feet pointing straight downwards.
I'm sure many people listening to this can understand, they can empathise, and they can understand the reasons why these sort of issues are causing this problem. But it's another matter what you do about it. I mean, we can change our lives to some degree, but there's a limit. If we work in offices, we have to work in offices. We can't do much about that.
Well, we do, but there is an awful lot that you can do, for instance, about your workstation. It may simply be that rather than waiting to take that piece of paper to the photocopier, you make a real point of getting up and taking it regularly so that you're getting up and moving around. But it's not just at work that it's having an impact. 57% of people surveyed said that they thought they'd do a better job of being a parent if they didn't have pain. Just over half said they couldn't pick up their kids. 36% said they weren't spending enough time with the kids because of their pain. And more than 3 in 5 said that it was affecting the time that they spent playing with their kids. So it's not just at work it's having an effect.
Would you suggest, or would you promote something like exercise as the main cause to get around this, other than making these alterations to your workspace?
Can that help? There's lots of things that you can do, and exercise is enormously important. For instance, time was when people had low back pain, we would say to them, go to bed, lie on a board and don't get up for anything except to go to the bathroom and to eat your meals. We now know that actually the opposite is true. The other big misconception I think out there is that if you take painkillers, either you'll get used to them and they won't work when you really need them, or that they could be masking your pain so that you can do yourself some injury. And I think this is a big reason why people don't take painkillers and don't get any relief from their pain. Pharmacies have got a fantastic array, not just of products that they can advise you on, but also a highly trained, not the counter assistant, but the pharmacist themselves has got a degree. They know a great deal about what's causing pain, what's causing other conditions. And many of the medicines they can give you are exactly the same, just as effective, just as safe as the ones you can get from your GP. The big difference is you don't need an appointment.
In a nutshell, then, if people are concerned and if this sounds like something that affects them, like, what's your key bit of advice that they should take home from this?
Well, go and speak to the pharmacist. Look after yourself, do some regular exercise, get some relaxation, think carefully about where you're sitting at your desk. If you want to find out more, you can log on to globalpainindex.com.
Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show with Paintbox Nails and Beauty Harrogate. Exclusive stockists of the By Flavia range, created by Strictly star Flavia Cacace.
Dr. Sarah Jarvis talking to our very own Dr. Gavin Rutter here on the Health and Wellbeing Show podcast from Stray FM. And now it's time for our weekly wellbeing top tip.
Stray FM's weekly wellbeing with BMI, the Duchy Hospital, keeping you healthy in Harrogate.
This evening's weekly wellbeing top tip from BMI is quite a nice one, really. It's rest your body. Now, it might seem like quite an easy thing to achieve, but with everyday life seemingly getting busier and busier all the time, it's often finding the time for rest that's the problem. This week, why not start making a conscious effort to get to bed that little bit earlier and sleep for at least 6 to 8 hours every night? Of course, if all that fails, you can also quickly refresh your senses by mastering the act of power napping.
Weekly Wellbeing with BMI, the Dutchie Hospital. Serious about health, passionate about care. Stray FM. Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show with Paintbox Nails and Beauty Harrogate. Home to boutique luxury for everyone. Visit our website for a full range of treatments.